Well, it is wonderful, wonderful to be here again with you all. For those who don't know, my name is Andy. I'm the pastor here at Wootton Baptist Church. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come on. Of course, we give praise and adoration to Jesus. He's our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. Again, we need like a spinny lectern or something like that. You know those drummers who sometimes have a crazy amount of kit? Kind of need a crazy amount of pulpit space. Wow. Maybe we should get one. What's that? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, we are, continuing our sermon series. No, this morning is Safeguarding Sunday. So we only, thank you, Eddie, we only do safeguarding this Sunday, right? No, of course we don't. We want to be good safeguarders as best as we can all the time, especially as a church community. Yes, we do. Right, I'm going to pray and then we'll get into some of the sermon notes for this morning around safeguarding. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus Christ, that you are our Lord and Saviour. Thank you, as we've already sung and expressed these words of praise and adoration to you, that you are our guardian. You are there, protecting, guarding, showing us the way and how to live for such a time as this. And as we engage and think about safeguarding, specifically here this morning, thank you that we are a church community passionately wanting to create the right space, environment, community that honours you and therefore honours best practice, safeguarding. Thank you that you are with us. And I pray that as we talk about some of the safeguarding narratives, I pray that you would help us to be surrendered to you and to know that you are our healer and our restorer. Human life is fragile. And there may well be some here this morning or watching online, who have struggled or who have been on the receiving end of some very poor protection. Lord, I pray for much grace, much love, much mercy. As we talk, as we pray, then as we receive a wonderful shared meal together in Holy Communion, that you would truly be our healer and our restorer, no matter who we are, no matter what background we've come from, no matter what journey we've been traveling through. At this point, at this time, may we truly know you as Lord and Saviour, as healer and restorer. Thank you, Jesus, for this gift, this privilege of being here together once again. Amen. Amen. Okay, Safeguarding Sunday. Oh, goodness sake, this. Got to make the noises, right? Okay, great. So what kind of community are we aspiring to be? For those who have been journeying with us in the last few weeks, we're going through the armour of God, and the belt of truth was that girding, that holding together, and that question of what is our integrity? Who are we? And it's not just saying the right words or listening and kind of going, yeah, we're going to sing a few songs, but actually, what kind of community are we truly aspiring to be. Now, if you have your Bibles with you or device that connects you to Scripture, may we not be distracted when using our devices. And if you would like to have a Bible, please raise your hands and the stewards very kindly will pass you a Bible. And if you need a large print one, there's one. It's a fight. No, we don't want to do that. Share, yes. Thank you, Martin. Okay, turn with me, please, to the first. We're going to look at three particular passages this morning. And the first one being 1 John 3 and verses 16 to 24. So 1 John in the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. Okay, now I'm reading from The Voice, which is probably a slightly different version to what you have with you. But I find the words bring an extra perspective or slightly different perspective. And it's not too, hopefully not heresy as I read it. I don't believe it is. All right, 1 John 3, 16 to 24. We know what true love looks like because of Jesus. He gave his life for us, and he calls us to give our lives for our brothers and sisters. If a person owns the kinds of things we need to make it in the world, but refuses to share with those in need, it is even possible that God's love lives in him. My little children, don't just talk about love as an idea or a theory. Make it your true way of life and live in the pattern of gracious love. There is a sure way for us to know that we belong to the truth. Even though our inner thoughts may condemn us with storms of guilt and constant reminders of our failures, we can know in our hearts that in his presence, God himself is greater than any accusation. He knows all things. My loved ones, if our hearts cannot condemn us, then we can stand with confidence before God. Whatever we may ask, we receive it from him because we follow his commands and take the path that pleases him. His command is clear. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus, the anointed, and love one another as he commanded. The one who follows his teaching and walks this path lives in an intimate relationship with God. How do we know that he lives in us? By the gifts of his Spirit. So we can choose to obey or to disobey. Now, the fruits of the Spirit, for those who know, maybe shout out a few of these. Fruits of the Spirit. Love. Joy, peace. Patience. Gentleness, kindness. Goodness. Self-control. Fantastic. Any we've missed? Faithfulness. Yeah, great. So the fruits of the Spirit are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gifts. That is from an outworked love when we surrender to Jesus, his love, that command. We can choose to obey or to disobey. And of course, all of us here, myself 100% included, always obey what Jesus leads and prompts. Don't we? We are so amazing here at Wootton Baptist Church. We're like perfect people. But we've got to make that choice. See, it entails loving as Jesus has loved us. And he continues to love us, no matter how many times we, in our sinful nature, mess up or choose to go the one way or make that choice that is just not right. It's that going back to the vomit. You remember, for those who hear the picture of the dog and the vomit, dogs go back to the vomit. It's like going back to that sin, that sinful nature. But actually, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, he loves us so much. He laid down his life so that for you and I, for everyone, everyone, everyone. It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but something we can see in practice. So you have that command. Believing in Jesus, choosing. Are they right out there? I'm safeguarding Sunday. Do we need? I'm just a bit concerned. I think they should be okay. Believing in Jesus, so choosing. We've got to choose to act from costly love for each other, living out truth, providing help, addressing need. This love in action involves both addressing and protecting against harm, being willing to face truth and pursue justice, providing support for those at risk from others or themselves. And I think that's often misunderstood. You know, when we want to love, well, it's because of love we need to have the boundaries in place. It's because of love we want to help protect and secure and provide a safe space for people who have been hurt or who are hurting. It's because of love. And that's choosing to act in love as Christ showed that act of love by dying on the cross, defeating sin, as it were, that atonement sacrifice so that we can have true life in him. That's a really massive, huge choice that Jesus chose to enact from his Father's will for you and I. Wow. Okay. So is that choice? It's costly. So I go back one. It's that choice, the love, the command. It's costly and there's action. It's not passive. Is active, takes action. And then if we turn now, the second passage we're going to look at just as a point of reference, really, but James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't make any sense to say you have faith and act in a way that denies that faith. Mere talk never gets you very far, and a commitment to Jesus only in words will not save you. It would be like seeing a brother or sister without any clothes out in the cold and begging for food and saying, "Shalom, friend. You should get inside where it's warm and eat something." But doing nothing about his needs, leaving him cold and alone on the street, what good would your words alone do? The same is true with faith. Without actions, faith is useless. By itself, it's as good as dead. I know what you're thinking. Okay, you have faith, and I have actions. Now let's see your faith without works, and I'll show you a faith that works. Do you think that just believing there's one God is going to get you anywhere? The demons believe that too, and it terrifies them. The fact is, faith has to show itself through works performed in faith. If you don't recognize that, then you're an empty soul. Wasn't our father Abraham made right with God by laying his son Isaac on the altar? The faith in his heart was made known in his behavior. In fact, his commitment was perfected by his obedience. That's what scripture means when it says Abraham entrusted himself to God and God credited him with righteousness. And living a faithful life earned Abraham the title of God's friend. Just like our father in the faith, we are made right with God through good works, not simply by what we believe or think. Even Rahab, the prostitute, was made right with God by hiding the spies and abiding in their escape. Aiding in their escape. Removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have left is a corpse. It's quite starking imagery, really, isn't it? It's quite vivid in its language. All you have left is a corpse. Well, the thing is, interestingly, the verses immediately before this passage we just heard addresses an inappropriate contrast between the treatment of the poor and the wealthy. And we know it's not just about reading, although actually, when we do read, and there's plenty of testimonies where prisoners or whoever have just read, and then God has met them in that place. So I'm not diminishing the fact that when we read God's word, he will and can and does transform us. Yes. But what we're talking about here is that when we have that transformed heart, then actually a living faith should cause us to be action. Action in helping the poor, the lost. Action in our moral compass. Words which express care are meaningless unless they are supported by action. Okay, in the final bit of scripture here, Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Really, it talks about how God is our refuge. And that song, Guardian, echoes some of these kind of themes here. He who takes refuge in the shelter of the Most High. I think Vicky even used this morning. Will be safe in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll leave it there because we've heard the scripture already. But he who takes refuge in the shelter of the Most High will be safe in the shadow of the Almighty. Confidence in God as one who provides protection. He is our refuge. Accept his refuge and be a refuge to others. I get really moved and touched by certain stories. Most stories in the Bible, if not all the stories in the Bible. But one in particular recently is when Jesus is sleeping in a boat and the storms are raging. The disciples are on the boat and they're going, "Ah, what's happening? Oh my goodness, we're going to sink. The storms are so raging. Look at the power of this and our little boat." And I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. But that, imagine the scene. It's like, "Oh no." And then it's a bit like, "Well, Jesus, do you not care?" Kind of asleep, having a nap in the boat. But actually, I find that such a huge encouragement. When there's storms are raging in life, look at the news. We all know the world is in a little bit of a mess by past moral failings, the consequences of that now, we're in so much debt as a nation and on and on and on and on. It's not all doom and gloom, but it's not looking great. Storms of life on a more personal perspective. We may have had encounters from years, years, years ago where actually it felt like we were drowning. no one could hear, that we were going to be drawn to the depths of despair in a way that would actually kill us, cause us so much hurt, so much pain, no hope, and just this storms of whatever abuse, whatever attack, by human hands, by human sin, and feeling completely helpless, with no one to hear our cries and our pleas. And yet Jesus, when we accept and know him, when I say accept, we acknowledge that we are sinful, that we haven't got all the power and authority as human, but we need a saviour. There is a saviour, and that's Jesus. When we acknowledge and recognise and accept that we really need Jesus in our life, then we can come to surrender, and he hears us. He died for each and every one of us. And he's there protecting us in the storms. Now, does that mean that we get completely healed from everything? Does that mean that all of our problems and struggles disappear? Does that mean that suddenly we are the most positive, happy person ever in the history of being happy and positive and everything's amazing? Well, not really. It does mean that we do have a hope and an assurance. It does mean that when we lean into Jesus Christ, then we can feel peace. We can know that peace that transcends all human understanding. I'm sure there are people here this morning who could share of stories that make no sense in the eyes of man, but from heaven's perspective, it makes all the sense. Being carried, being taken through horrific circumstances, and then knowing and meeting Jesus and going, wow, and being healed of so much hurt, being able to forgive the abuser, forgive the hurt, forgive the pain, because Jesus is our guardian. He is 100% the safest place, the most incredible protection, safest healing person that we could ever know. Forgiveness is incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful. Questions to address. Why doesn't God always protect us? God, why did you allow that to happen? God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Why didn't you hear my cries? Life is messy. Bad things happen on a personal level and on a global level and on a national level. I do believe we are living in the consequences of the choices that we and others have made. I mean, think of climate change. I'm not going to get on that huge agenda, but in some extent, that's a consequence of failed actions in the past. I remember something at college that really struck me at Spurgeon's College, one of these apologetics kind of moral questions that gets thrown at you. And it was a very clear picture of somebody praying to God Now, they were pregnant. They're running late to get the train. And they really needed to get the train. This is a hypothetical kind of scenario. Praying, God, please, 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 please. Pause the train. May it help it to slow down a bit. Please let it be a delay because I desperately need to get on this train because I'm literally need to get on that to get to the hospital. And then you have somebody else who's going, God, I really need to get this train on time. It's got to be there on time because if it's not on time, I'm going to miss this appointment. And they are both God-fearing, God-believing, born-again Christians. It's a silly example, but it's a very simple example of going, well, they could both go and the train just arrives when it arrives. One of them would be hurt and blame God. Well, the train didn't come when I asked it to. God, you don't care. And the other person could be going, yes, thank you, God. You answered my prayers. Amazing. You are a God of love and you care for the detail. Interesting, isn't it? And I wonder how many of us have prayed prayers similar to that. It's a little bit silly. It's a silly story. But actually, we can be hurt by God because we think he hasn't heard or he doesn't care. But a lot of these things are quite circumstantial. And you hear with stories, many, many stories, how going through horrific things, Jesus is calming the storm. And we can accept and trust him. It might not affect directly the immediate, tangible circumstances, but in our very hearts, deep in our souls, that we have this peace and protection. And it makes no sense because we shouldn't be feeling that, but we can because of Jesus. I don't know why God causes certain people to go through certain things. Is it him causing that? Or is it we are in a sinful, horrific world and there are people out there who are intentionally and deliberately wrapped up in the life of sin and will enact that in whatever way? But may I just throw there that Jesus died for them as well. It's tough. But it's so true. Another question. What does love look like when dealing with abusers? We are all made in the image of God. Victims and survivors of abuse are made in the image of God. Abusers are made in the image of God. We are all, including victims and survivors and including abusers, people who are loved by God and for whom Christ died. Loving our neighbour, you know that well-known mandate for each and every one of us. Love God and love your neighbour. Includes loving those who have abused others and those who are seeking to abuse and those who are tempted to abuse. But love doesn't mean anything goes. Love includes enforcing boundaries, preventing people from being in situations which can cause harm to others and themselves. Maintaining those boundaries through the justice system when they have been breached. Love includes making changes, helping people to remove themselves from temptation, to seek treatment for their damaging and inappropriate addiction, to face the consequences of what they have done. Well, my faith is a personal thing. Can't I just leave the action to others? I'm happy with me and my God. We're having a great time. It's me and my God. My God and me. Me and my God, oh, God and me. What I always say, follow is an active verb. It's an active verb. To follow Jesus means to actively take part, to join in with what God is doing here, now. Jesus' teachings were all very active. He taught about how to live and showed us what this might look like by living it out and thus giving us practical examples to follow. We are all on a journey together. This is where faith can get really real. Because actually, we are likely, most of us, maybe if not all of us, are carrying or have journeyed through some sort of pain or hurt in some form, in some description. Discipleship, when we look to Jesus, when we are there in the right heart, right focus, right heart posture before Christ, then we truly can, I fully believe, come to a place together where we can surrender and let go of these hurts and pains. It's not a comparison with, oh, well, I've only had this happen to me. What, I've had this crazy journey. No, it's not a competition. For each of us, we carry in our own reality those hurts and pains. Because if we're not able to accept Christ's love, his mercy, his grace, then how can we show that to others in the world that is broken? We're just going to watch a quick safeguarding video. Hopefully it's not too naff. I think it's okay, because some of these can be a little bit, oh, really? Okay, it might be a bit of a delay. Sorry, I pressed it too quickly there. So just to be aware that here at Wadham Baptist Church, we have designated safeguarding peoples. Rachel is epic and amazing. She is our seriously amazing gifted safeguarding officer, designated person for safeguarding. We also currently have Andrew temporarily, our church secretary, is the trustee for safeguarding. And then we have different roles within that as well. And we're looking for a deputy safeguarding. I'll just stop waffling. I'm not going to read it all out. Just have a moment to quickly look at that and we can send these slides out. I think I'm just going to keep going. Okay, brilliant. Trusty deacons, I know I'm skipping this bit, but I really want to get to communion. But know that we have leaders in place here at this church, and we've taken this very seriously because we've got to. We have to. And we want to. Uh-oh, not that minister guy. Okay. We can send out more information. There are little notices up of who we are. But please know that if there is any concerns that you have about me as the minister, pastor, if I do home visits, or if you think I'm not behaving correctly, or you just feel a bit awkward around me, please speak to Rachel, speak to Andrew, speak to the leaders. It's okay. Hopefully you won't need to, but please speak up. Equally, if there's anything else that you are struggling with here in this church, for whatever reason you feel that we need to get better on or at, please speak to us. Really, we want to get this right. We want to be honourable, we want to be accountable.